Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
I love the sport. I'm indebted to the sport. I'm indebted to the people that have been a big part of my life. I just wanted to offer them the joy that I got from the experience. I'm just very grateful for the opportunity. I'll miss it. I'll miss them. I'll miss the wearing the red, white, and blue every day. But I hope they realize that I gave it my all.
And our guest this week, Sandy Stockel. She just retired as the head girls lacrosse coach at Washington Township High School down in South Jersey after 31 years. She started the program from scratch in 1994. Now she will remain a counselor at the school. And Sandy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So why now? 31 years, you've built the program, all kinds of success. Why was this the right time to step away?
I had a great assistant coaching staff, a great team of girls, especially the seniors, and it just felt right. I have felt peace with that final decision, and I've been able to see a lot of things happen, and now I'd like to see it from the lens of being a mom, because my daughter's on the team, and enjoy that last part.
Was this a decision that had been years in the making? Like a few years ago, did you start to kind of in your head put together the time frame, or was it something you started last season and maybe it was a little harder to get the engine going, stuff like that? Which kind of way was it leaning?
It's been happening for a while. I always thought, well, is it the right time? And I always felt taking a little bit of time off and then thinking about, would I miss it? And I always came to the answer of, yes, I was going to miss it. And this time, I didn't have that. I had the calm of, I want to be a big supporter and see it from the sideline as a parent and as somebody that still supports the program, but doesn't need to do all the hard lifting anymore.
How long between when the decision was made internally to when you vocalized it to someone?
I would say a couple months. Yeah, it was. I spoke to the athletic director, Kevin Murphy, about where I was, and he was very gracious. And it's been a pleasure working for Kevin, and he was very supportive of my decision and made sure that this season was going to be a memorable one for me. So I was very grateful for that.
So what was this season like when you know that this is it, you know? And I'm sure there is the, you don't want to get too caught up in it because there's work to do, but there is also, well, last time we're going to prepare for this team, last time we're going to play here, last bus ride here. And did you find yourself getting emotional at random times because maybe stuff hit you?
I certainly did. And it was great to be able to see it again through that lens, to have a true appreciation for, no matter how tough a situation is or how easy a situation is, you can't buy it. You're just in it. And I felt like I was very grounded and lucky enough to have that true appreciation for the last time to play Clearview, or the last time we're in the state playoffs, or the last time to be able to hold a banquet with all the incredible players and families. And it was really a true joy.
When did the finality hit you completely?
At the banquet. We went through and honored all the kids. And then at the very end, I shared with all the families, and it had leaked out some, and said it was official that I was going to now step away and be one of the biggest supporters of the program. And I thank them for this special opportunity that they gave me to feel just relaxed and calm and given me the joy to know that this was the time. And I did get choked up, and the families were all very gracious and congratulated me, and there were some tears shed on both sides, but it's also a moment of excitement for the next regime coming in, so I'm very excited about where it's going to go for the next level.
What do you think it's going to be like? Because I think there's obviously a finality, but there will be the moment when you would be preparing for next season and you're not going to have to prepare. Do you think that's going to be another emotional rush?
I think so. When you need to have that first meeting in January and assemble all the kids, and you're meeting with the captains and prepping them to be true leaders, because leadership takes practice. And then that opening day in March is going to be, I think, pretty hard too. But again, I know it's right. I know it's the right time, and I'm going to be happy for the future of Washington Township Lacrosse.
Do you think you'll still be a counselor at the school? You'll still see the kids? Will that make it easier or harder, you think?
I think it'll be a little bit easier, actually. I'm planning to stick around for a couple more years, and I do have a lot of players that are on my caseload, and I'll be there to support them or listen to anything they want to share. And if I'm approached by the new coaching staff, if they'd like a little bit of help, I'll be certainly happy to do so, or again, just watch my daughter play and be excited for that.
What was the conversation with her? We should note she's sitting 5 feet away from me here in the studio, but did you broach it with her first? How did you handle it?
I did. We had a lot of conversations, and she knows how she's been around it since she was born. We were in the state finals when she was 1 year old, and she's been around it, and she's seen how tough the job has been and how also exciting it is and the kind of happiness there is. But she knows that I've been getting tired, and she was extremely supportive on whatever I decided to do. And I mean, she's been very gracious about it.
So now let's turn back the clock. What was your introduction to lacrosse? Because you were a very good goalie as a player. How did you get introduced to the sport?
I was a softball player at Shawnee High School, and Sue Murphy Rutterow was my Algebra 2 teacher and said, how about trying another sport instead of softball? And at first, I kind of like pushed back on it because I always played softball since I was in, you know, grade school. And then I decided to give it a try. And I played for Sue for 2 years and went to Trenton State, it was called, and turned over to TCNJ, the College of New Jersey, and played for a perennial coach, over 1,000 wins in two sports, Sharon Pfluger. And the sky was the limit under her coaching. And also my teammates, I was surrounded by a lot of great athletes. And we won a few championships, and it was very exciting, and I couldn't get enough of it. So I decided to go into the coaching ranks and started over at Cherry Hill West under Barb Thompson for a few years, and kept asking the athletic director at the time, Charlie Erling, to please consider having girls lacrosse come to Washington Township. And in 1994, he finally was able to get the finances to do it, and the rest is history.
And we will dig into that in a minute, but I want to go back to your playing days. When you started playing, because I think in just about any sport, when you're the goalie, you don't need a ton of knowledge about the sport. You're just, all right, stop here and stop whatever they're throwing at
sure.
you. Okay. Where were you on the understanding of lacrosse spectrum when you started? Was it just, okay, I'll put the equipment on and see what happens? Or were you familiar with the sport at all?
I wasn't familiar with the sport. It was because I was a catcher in softball.
Okay, so a lot of the skill sets translate.
Yes, it did. So it was easier.
How long do you think it took you to find your stride as a goalie, and you became more than just stopping the ball that was thrown at you?
My first, when I started, was junior year in high school. So I would say my senior year, I was lucky to be nominated for honorable mention All South Jersey. So I figured I must be doing something right. And then I went to an open house clinic at TCNJ. And they said, we're great. We're really happy that you're coming here. And the goalie that was in front of me was going to be a senior. She played at Lenape High School. So as an incoming freshman and playing under Lori Jordan, who got a state championship at Lenape, and then my freshman year, we won a national championship over at University of Pennsylvania. We played Ursinus, and I was under Lori learning the skill set then. And then she returned as the assistant coach for goaltending my sophomore year, and I just kept getting better because of better coaching and better players in front of me, and just I was just really lucky, very fortunate.
Can you dig into the what specifically about being a catcher helped you? Like, what parts of the skill set? I mean, I think some of it's intuitive. You're wearing the equipment. You know, you're obviously stopping, catching the ball, but also stopping it, blocking it. But were there other parts that really helped translate to make you a good goalie?
Not be afraid of the ball. If you're a catcher and the ball's coming in and maybe the pitch isn't exactly what the call was and you have to dig it out of the dirt, or somebody's swinging the bat and you get nicked with that, or a foul tip and it's hitting you somewhere in the body and you get a little, you know, stung up or whatever. So that I think being not afraid of the ball was just critical. And that was very helpful.
Did you continue playing softball, or at a certain point was it you were just all across?
I played softball just for the fun of it in the summertime with some friends and whatnot. But then near the end of my college career, I just stopped as well. So
did you miss it?
A little bit. A little bit. But at 58 years old, I think it's passed me by.
So you couldn't get enough of lacrosse. Kind of take me through the idea of coaching. Was it just the next logical step when you kind of hit the point where there was no opportunities to play?
I was really interested in being a physical education teacher, and that didn't go too well with my father. He said, there's too many phys ed teachers out there, so why don't you pick another subject and then you could always coach. So I was decent at math and became a mathematics teacher, and with the understanding that I was going to further my career through coaching, since I wasn't going to be in the classroom or in the gym presenting any kind of sports there.
The success you had in college as a player, I mean, three championships,
yes.
National championships.
Yes.
That is a layer above elite as far as having success. Did that spoil you at all when you start to coach, because you're just so used to winning? And like I said, not just winning, but being the last team on the mountain. And sometimes it can be hard when you start coaching and maybe you don't have that talent level you're working with. And, you know, where were you on the patient scale? Where were you, especially at 23, 24, when we all think everything's easy? You know, learning that what you did was incredible and maybe it won't happen right away or won't happen here.
It was a hard transition, but I was lucky enough that I had players that understood where I was coming from. And even though the wins didn't mount up initially, the effort was there. The dedication was there. The coachability was there. And those are the main things for me that just were so important, that I knew the winning would eventually get there. But if you don't have the other ingredients, it's even harder and tougher to stay in it. And the wins were not that big to me. I did it as a player. As a coach, I just wanted to share the game.
What was it like, though, to win three national championships?
Amazing.
Did they all hit the same, or was there a different feel to each one?
There was difference. The first one, I was the only freshman that was brought up, and I did not play in the game. I was the backup for Lori. The second game, I was the starter. We played down at University of Maryland, and we ended up losing that game 12-9. So that hit us pretty hard because, we got the taste of the championship before. And then, you know, the coming in second place after all the hard work was pretty difficult. Then my junior year, we played at Maryland again. It was overtime. And we won 8-7 against Ursinus. That was, I thought, the pinnacle of my career. That was just being able to go back against them again for the third time and going into overtime and then coming out on top was just amazing. Then my senior year, we played over at Haverford, and it was against William Smith. And that one, we were pretty much in the driver's seat the most of the time. So it was a great win. It was a closure type of win, though, as a senior. And I was one of the captains. So it was like being in that leadership role, having that last taste and knowing, you know, you're not going to play competitively anymore. I did try out for the U.S. team, but I did not make it. And I decide, well, it's kind of time to be an adult now and get out to the workforce and start giving back.
What was the tryout for the U.S. team? What was that experience like? Was it overwhelming, or was it just have the feel of another camp, but it was just elite players?
No, it was overwhelming. You were going up against the kids that already were on it. So the first part of the tryout was all the newbies, if you want to call it, and it was combined skill set. I'm a Division III player that played at a high level, but you're going up against kids that at that time, Temple had some of the top players that played in the World Cup in 1989, and they actually won it. So you're going up against elite athletes that, quite frankly, you've never seen before. So it was awing almost to the point that you wanted to ask for their autograph instead. So it was great to have that honor to be asked to try it, but I knew I was a little in over my head.
Was there a specific moment where that crystallized for you?
Oh, yeah. I was in the cage, and a kid from Penn State got the ball between the 8 and the 12, it's called, markings on the field, and she ripped a shot behind her head, and I wasn't expecting that pace of a shot when she did it behind her head and went in, and I thought, oh, boy, that's, yeah.
Check, please.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're coaching, and you talk about, you know, you were pushing for Washington Township to add it. So take me to 1994. Program started. Did you know where to start when it came to creating something from scratch?
I was on the basketball staff at Washington Township for Don Acosta. And during those years, 93 and 94, we went to the state championship. And I was familiar with the type of athletes that were on in that program. And I recruited. And I got some kids that were top in soccer, top in basketball, and said, hey, you want to give it a try? And some of them said yes. And I actually made them my captains to be the leaders of the program. And it's an interesting story at the end I can share with you at the end of the interview. But they were my rock. They were the ones that knew how hard it would be to run, to train, to play at a high level, have high expectations, could handle being pushed, could handle being in tough situations, and two of which ended up playing, one at University of Delaware and the other one played at Rowan. And we had to be doing something right because it just then started to explode, and we had 85 to 100 kids playing at the time, and I didn't cut anybody. So that's how we started it.
What was the understanding of the game with that first team? You mentioned you were recruiting, and lacrosse was starting to gain popularity, but not anywhere close where it is now. So were there a lot of kids where their first holding of a lacrosse stick was at their first tryout for you?
Yes. We bought the sticks ahead of time. That's why it took some time to get it underway, because it was a big financial jump. None of the kids had sticks. They didn't have to wear goggles or anything fancy then. So it was just the stick, and then showing them this is what it is, and this is when it's legal, and this is how you tighten it up, and this is the ball, and this is how dense the ball is, and going through the basics and then all the rules, and just, again, just saying to the kids, look, give it, be patient. You just have to be patient. So we took our lumps, and we were like 2-14 the first year, but we had a lot of fun and a lot of kids came back. So I thought we were doing something right.
And I would imagine having kids where you're starting on the ground floor as far as fundamentals of the game. On one hand, it's a lot. But on the other hand, you're teaching them the habits. You're not trying to correct, because a lot of times if a kid's been playing for somebody else, maybe not getting it or it hasn't been working, you're trying to untangle the web. Here, you're setting the standard for what Washington Township lacrosse, what we're looking for, how we want to play the game. I don't want to say that it's easy, but it had to be incredibly exciting and to be able to kind of mold things from the ground floor like that.
I always even say that now. I have kids that say, I've never picked up a stick before. And I said, well, good, you don't have any bad habits. And that was the beauty of it. Yes, that was, nobody was coming in already saying, well, I already learned this, I already did this, I have this perspective of this, that, the other thing. And the game has changed. The kids do have that, and that's fine. We still make it work to people's strengths. But yeah, it was very exciting to know that whatever was put out there, was the beginning.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. More with Sandy Stockel coming up. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Sandy Stockel, who just retired after 31 years as the head girls lacrosse coach at Washington Township High School in South Jersey.
So I think you said 2-14 first year.
Yep.
Do you remember the first win, though, and what that was like?
The first win, I want to say it was against Pennsauken. And it was really exciting. I mean, the kids were just like, wow, and super stoked. Like, this is what it feels like. Wow, this is really, really cool. So I think one was against Pennsauken, and the other one, I believe, was against Willingboro. And we played pretty much everybody. We played Morristown. We played Shawnee. And they were all very kind to us. They could have roped us by 50. But anytime there's a new program, you kind of dial it back. And it was good because then the kids didn't have a sour taste in their mouth like, oh, we're going to get beat up again today. So it was very exciting on those wins, yeah.
How difficult was it for you to manage a roster of that size? You said 85 to 100 kids right out of the gate when the whole coaching thing is new. And not for nothing, lacrosse is still relatively new for you. Like, you're only like, I mean, you played it at an elite level, but what, 8-9 years of the sport by the time you're a head coach here? So was that not overwhelming at all to deal with those types of numbers?
It was, and you have to be very creative. So I had a great coaching staff then, and we did a lot of circuit work. We also pretty much ran lines, and we had kids every 10 minutes we would sub. We tried to get 2 full games out there to keep people involved, and we would do other things that were outside of lacrosse, fun games, team building, bonding things, pasta dinners. We did the whole shebang. So it was just to keep things different and not just be hardcore. All that we care about is getting on the field and the playing time. There's all other aspects of it as well.
So I think your third year was your first winning season, and you guys won a conference title. Am I correct? Or a playoff berth.
Yeah, it was a playoff berth. Yeah.
But when did you feel like you had turned the corner as a program, and it was no longer new, it was no longer learning, it was starting to become Washington Township girls lacrosse? Like, there was a brand, there was success, and, you know, there were certain teams that you were now going to be able to beat if you just played a solid game and you didn't have to punch above your weight. Like, do you remember when you felt like it started to turn?
I would say, like, the year 2000, 2001, it just, we had consistency. We had kids starting as freshmen and staying with us for 4 years. And we had been in the playoffs over and over and over again. And we started getting kids that were elite athletes that decided to do club lacrosse and do the other extra work. And by the time we got to 2003, 2004, we really started, that was our wheelhouse from then until like 2012, 2013. And it was just, like you said, it was a brand. It was, this is the expectation. We started winning conference championships, sectional titles, and kids wanted to be a part of it. And we started bringing in some really solid money for kids that got scholarships. And at one point, we were even having some college coaches come to our practices and just watch kids. And that was the pinnacle.
What are some of the favorite games from your career? Because multiple conference championships, group 4 titles, playoff bursts, like, there's a lot on the resume. But when you think of 31 years of coaching, are there a certain handful of games that just rise to the top as far as ones that'll just be on your memory forever?
I would have to say, I mean, this is kind of just right on the point, is playing in the state finals both times in 2009 and 2011. And just getting to that spot, knowing that you're one of the two best in Group 4. And the ride along it was just, it was the entire season. It was just everything about it. And another game was in 2008, we won the Gloucester County Cup, which was the first inaugural year. And that was when my daughter was born. And unfortunately, I wasn't even at the game. I was getting information while I was at the hospital of what was going on. And that was a great win. It was covered by Comcast at the time. On Clearview's team was Michelle Tumalo, who now she's the head coach at Army, but she's on the U.S. team. And that was an exciting period of time as well. That was another game that the kids were just really excited about, the back and forth and getting the coverage. And that time of my life was really great. Just really great.
Did becoming a mom change you as a coach?
Yes.
How so?
Because when you step off the field and you go home and you hear what your daughter's seeing through her eyes instead of your eyes, and the excitement of maybe something that happens in a drill or in a game, or talking about strategy, or sometimes picking up the pieces and dealing with the tears. When I didn't have that person to come home to, I was able to look at it again through the coaching point of view of what should I do in practice? What should I do to team bond? What should I do as strategy for the next game? It was more team oriented. It wasn't mom oriented. And it really grounded me to know that the kids do wear a lot at home and there are reactions to a lot of things. And it gave me a whole different perspective that really, I think, made me a better person.
Prefer practice or games?
Both.
Need you to rank them. Because when I started asking this question, I figured it would be 90-10 games because it's the game. It's what you play for. It's the excitement. But then you start to talk to people, and the practice is kind of where the bonds are made. It's where the kids get better. It's where you can coach and really make an impact. And it makes sense when you start to really reverse engineer it. So, you know, if you had to lean in one direction, which way would you go?
I think probably practice, because it is 3 hours of controlled opportunity. And that's where you put the kids in the best spot to be the best them. And you also build trust. It's a trust system. So if something doesn't go well in a drill, you pull them aside and you talk to them. You film your practices and sit down and show them what's going on. You high-five them after something that's done well. You can stop at any time. And they then translate that into the game, and they know that you've done the best that you could for the success of that 4 quarters of 40 minutes, 48 minutes, you know, however, in club and all. I see it the same. I'm still coaching club lacrosse, that my practices mean a lot to build that trust and put them in the best place to be successful when they step in between those lines.
How much does your years as a teacher and then as a counselor, how deep does that make your tool bag to be a better coach?
I think a great deal. I think that there's the point of standing in front of a classroom of 25 or whatever and trying to teach a concept, and everybody's in a different spot, whether they're exceptional in mathematics or they're not. Or I'm in now the counseling office and I have somebody that's applying to an Ivy League school or somebody that's failing 5 classes and we got to come up with a strategy. Regardless of the fact, I have premier athletes that are just naturals in lacrosse, and I have other kids that are just learning the sport, and I have to be able to challenge every level, and I have to be able to think on my feet, and I get, whether it's parent emails or parent phone calls or a parent talking to me after a game, whether it's a good conversation or a challenging conversation, I know that I'm there for the kids, and being able to do that 12 to 16 hours a day has really helped me in a lot of facets, and I try my best. I really do. And I do truly care about the kids.
You start the program in 94. Did you figure that you were going to be there for the long haul, or was it not something you thought about, like, big picture, and it becomes one of those that you're there 5 years, you're then 10 years, family's growing, roots in the community. okay, this is where I'm going to be. Like, where was like kind of the decision that, because you had success and you had college success, and I'm sure you had contacts. Not crazy to think that if you really enjoyed the coaching, that maybe there are other opportunities you could look at or at least entertain. You know, was there a conscious decision that I'm going to be at Washington Township and this is where I'm going to hang my shingle?
Well, I did get approached for an assistant position initially, early on in my career. And I decided that I wanted to remain at Washington Township just for the security. And also, I did start building roots and friendships and decided to put it all in. I never thought I would make it to 31 years, though. I didn't even know if I'd make it to 20. It's a lot of work. But it was also a passion of mine, and it always continued to pull at me. And I've made a lot of dear friends through this sport, and even my kids that are now 45 years old. I'm friendly with or have been at their weddings. I've been at their children's first birthday parties and all of that. So it just year to year started adding up, and I didn't really have a set plan. But when I did decide to push the chips in 94, I wasn't going to be leaving to go work somewhere else.
You had high level success as a player and as a coach. How do they compare and contrast? Like, does success as a player feel different than success as a coach?
Yes.
How so?
As a player, you have the bruises to mark up what happened. You have teammates that you're relying on. You have days that you're just not on your A game and you feel you're letting people down. The sweat, the tears, the being tired, then the success and just being relieved that you were able to all come together as a group. But if it takes a toll on you physically a lot. The emotional and mental part is there as well. For coaching, the physical part's not there. It you're not getting banged up. As a coach also, though, you see your kids go through some the tough things and you're like, oh, I really wish they could do X or Y or Z. But that's the beauty of the coaching is now I got to problem solve and I got to do something to put them in that spot to be successful. So as a player and winning the national championships and all, it was a pinnacle. As a coach, it was different. Did I wish that we had won a state championship? Sure. You know, it was heartbreaking that we didn't get it. However, the landscape of seeing the kids go through all that and being somebody that was basically supporting them along the way, I was still really grateful. So it's hard to capsulize, really, but it is very different.
Love to win or hate to lose?
Early in my career, hate to lose. Now, love to win.
How has what you considered, we talk about success, player, coach. As a coach, has what you considered success changed from the start to the finish?
Yes. In the beginning, I thought if I make athletes that want to play the sport, they get scholarship money, we win, we're growing, we're doing right by kids. That's what I really thought was the big deal. And yes, I was very proud when we got conference championships. Or in 2012, we had over $1 million of scholarship money come in with kids going to Temple, to Drexel, to University of Pennsylvania. That I thought was incredible success, and I was doing the job that I needed to do. Now, and I know a lot of people say this post-COVID, there's more to that. There's relationships. There's trust. There's being there for kids when something's not going their way or they're having problems at home, or that emotional, mental part of putting them back together, because lacrosse is just an extension of life. Some things are going to go really well for you and some things aren't. And that's okay. You got to have the strength to get through it and the skill set. And yeah, winning was fun. And I like to win, but I saw other wins out there other than the scoreboard, and that's just making good people.
What are you going to miss the most about coaching at Washington Township? And once again, you're going to still be at the school, and I think you mentioned you're still coaching a club team, but specifically of your role as head coach at Washington Township, what will you miss the most?
The day-to-day with the players, their families, and the coaching staff.
Do you feel like the kids have changed?
I think they've changed, but I also think times changed too. Everything changes. It's the same thing as being in the classroom or being as a counselor or me being a parent when my daughter was five versus as a teenager now. I think everything changes, and you have to be present. You have to be aware of that and just recognize what people need and what you need and what boundaries are and what healthy boundaries are, and just support. But yeah, the times have changed, the game's changed, athletes have changed, perspective has changed.
What do you hope people take away from your time as the head coach at Washington Township? Like, you touch so many people, players, parents, people at the school, fans. You know, when you kind of distill it down, what do you hope comes across from your time as the head coach?
That I cared about all the kids, the families. I love the sport. I'm indebted to the sport. I'm indebted to the people that have been a big part of my life. And I just wanted to offer them the joy that I got from the experience. And I'm just very grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'll miss it. I'll miss them. I'll miss the wearing the red, white, and blue every day. But I hope they realize I gave it my all.
Sandy Stockel, thanks so much. Thanks for coming in. This was wonderful.
Thanks, Matt.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Sandy Stockel, who just retired after 31 years as the head girls lacrosse coach at Washington Township High School in South Jersey, for coming in studio, being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon10. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.